New York to the heart, but got love.
What's up, everybody? This is Jopper, Papa Pump Penizai, aka the bad guy, aka your future father-in-law. What's up?
This is John the Matt Maz, and I'm here with Jason Bitzer. I don't know how anybody can follow up with that intro, so I have nothing important to say. This is my buddy Jason. I've known Jason for about 15 years through the surfing and bodyboarding community back in New Jersey. I met him when I was a little tyke back in the game early. I don't even think I was of legal drinking age yet. It's just been a long time since I know this guy. We train a lot of martial arts together and travel all over the world. And if some of you guys aren't familiar with who Jason is, this is Jason's time to shine and kind of tell you about what he's done and where he's been. He's lived an exciting life. He's done a multitude of Waterman events. He's been on every continent and every major cool surf break. So, Jason, it's up to you, man.
Hey,
what do you have to say?
Guys? Yeah, nice to talk to you guys again. It's like it's kind of been a little bit of time between drinks with me and you, Maz, because like we'll kind of binge like you do on a TV show. Like I'll see Maz for like 2 weeks, and then I won't talk to him for like 3 months, and then we'll just jump in again and just start up where we left. And Joff, it's been probably like, I would say like 3 years before I seen you in Jersey, but it seems like it was yesterday training, so that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, man, it's great to finally hear your voice, bud.
Thanks, bud, I appreciate it. I wouldn't mind hearing for a lot of the boys back home. It's hard to get back. Like, I usually get back, but it used to be for work because I was doing that event over in Point Pleasant.
You want to talk about that event you used to run? I mean, it was pretty big.
Well, I used to, like, my background for, you know, like, we're talking as friends, but if anybody has any interest in what I've done, I was a pro bodyboarder since I've been about, like, 18. So, and that's how I kind of ran into you guys, obviously, Maz, you're a bodyboarder, and then Joff, because I was cross-training, and I was trying to get into Muay Thai and a little bit of ground game, too. And then, I did that for up until about 3 years ago, and about 5 years ago, more than that, actually 7 years ago, I started a national tour. And I did an event in Huntington, one in New Jersey, one in Sandy Beach, Oahu, and then the Pipeline event. And just recently, I kind of trimmed back my events, but I'm still doing three major ones. And I actually still do the Sandy's event, just because after Sandy, things got a little bit tricky in New Jersey. Obviously, there's a lot of drama going home and just a lot of restructuring. I didn't really want to celebrate surf with an event and push for it last year just because it was too close to what was going down. It was just not like the proper timing. And plus I have a newborn. So traveling back to New Jersey while my wife was pregnant at that time, it kind of was like things happened for a reason. It kind of worked out and, you know, might come back at one point to the Jersey Shore for an event. But now, which is cool, when I go back to Jersey, I'm going for family and friends. So I actually get some time when I come back. I'm going to come back this fall. So hopefully get to train with you guys too. And, I was sponsored for a while. I was pretty fortunate. I got to travel all over the world and actually get paid for it. And I think that's one of those things that's very rare. So, you know, definitely appreciative of that. Now I'm more on the business end of stuff. I still have sponsors like Hurley is my main sponsor. And then Metrics Nutrition has been with me since I've been 17, which is pretty cool. And then I've been doing some, like, kind of promotional slash social promotions for OtterBox, like doing some more so from the lifeguard stuff, like helping them develop like solid cases that you could bring on, you know, jet ski rescues or boat rescues or whatever it may be.
Now, Bits, for people that don't know you, what are you doing? What are you doing right now, and where are you located?
I'm on Oahu. I live in Kailua. I work on the North Shore as a lifeguard. I actually just switched back to the east side in January because I have a newborn. So I'm a lifeguard as my main profession, and then I'm still an event organizer. So I do webcasts, I consult for other people's events, bring in sponsorships if it's the right event and I've got the right brand that I work with. Like I work with Verizon on this paddle event that's coming up, the Molokai Hoi. So I kind of just like one of those guys that kind of figures out what's going on and adapts because things change.
You're pretty much
month
like
to month. Yeah. So
jack of all trades, specialty of none kind of thing.
Now, Jay, I got to ask you, bud, you know, being that you're a former pro bodyboarder, you know, a lot of people don't really understand what kind of training goes into that. You know, a lot of people are more familiar with surfers. They don't understand how rigorous bodyboarding actually is. So what, when you were competing, what was your normal training like?
Well, you know what? The funny thing is that just popped in my head the other day because my wife and I kind of been off of our training, not off of our training, off of our training for bodyboarding specific the last 6 months. And it's because I'm not training for a specific event. So my routine's totally changed. Like I got in really into CrossFit and luckily, I've been doing a lot more martial arts and a lot of combative training as of late, which is really cool.
Specifically, what have you been working on with the MMA and stuff?
Yeah, well, for me, MMA stuff is always, like, it's touch and go, like as far as training with a certain camp. Like my friend, there's actually this guy from Philly, they call him, I got Mike Fowler, he's a really good jiu-jitsu guy, moved out here not so long ago. Oh, yeah. I haven't really got to work with him so much, but his understudy, who's really good at Muay Thai, I work with him, this guy Kyle Foyle. And you should look up Kyle Foyle because he's pretty badass. He's a good instructor for Muay Thai. And he's really good at jiu-jitsu too. He's under Mike Fowler, who's very, very talented out of Philly, but it's lived out here, and it's North Shore Jiu-Jitsu Club. So you should check those guys out for just, you know, kind of that jiu-jitsu world. But me, Muay Thai has always been my, like, stand-up because just the way my brain works, and as I've gotten older, going back towards jiu-jitsu now, I'm actually going to go to Gracie Kailua because it's in my own town, and I used to go there for a while.
Well, you did start, like, you had a classical karate background when you first started, right?
Yeah, same as you, actually. I did karate when I was a kid in taekwondo for years, you know what I mean? So I could throw a kick and, you know, I could parry a punch and do all the basic stuff. So I got a base, you know what I mean? And then Muay Thai was just more interesting for me, and boxing in general. And that's where I met Joff and you guys. Yeah. But I did it to substitute surfing in New Jersey.
Now, how would you say martial arts training helped you with your sport? I mean, what I'm trying to do right now, you're a prime example of somebody who did kickboxing, jiu-jitsu-oriented training to help their sport. So what would you say it specifically did to help you get better at bodyboarding?
So exactly what I'm doing. So I supplemented my bodyboarding. So like an example, like in New Jersey, unlike here, there's not as much waves. There's really good waves, but they're far and few between. So the cardio one, obviously, in kickboxing is gnarly. Jiu-jitsu has its moments too, but cardio in Muay Thai is gnarly. Any type of kickboxing or boxing is really good. So my cardio would stay very decent. And then the core and being able to absorb punishment, like with bodyboarding, people don't understand, and surfing, because I surf a lot now too. Bodyboarding is a bit more every muscle group, where I've noticed that surfing is a lot of legs and core, whereas bodyboarding's core, arms, everything, just because you're doing everything at once. It's a total, you got to have everything kind of trimmed up and ready just to take impact, because Mads is probably aware, and you've probably seen some stuff. Like when I was younger, I tried to like make it a point to do big airs, because at the time, you know, that's where bodyboarding was going, and I wanted to be the guy from the U.S. that could.
We're gonna have to post that photo of you hitting that massive invert at Porto, where I think you might have suffered a lifelong injury from that one. But yeah, it was well worth the shot, right?
Yeah.
At the time, when you're telling me, now I think back, and I'm like, no, it's not worth it.
By the way, your wife actually trains in jiu-jitsu as well, right?
Yeah, she's actually gonna get back into it, I think. More so now. She's pretty talented at jiu-jitsu. She can't throw a punch for her life, but it doesn't matter when you're a girl. I think if you got a good jiu-jitsu base, you got a pretty good base. But she's a scientist, so her mind works very methodically and slow, which I think is great for jiu-jitsu, because you're breaking down you're breaking down pieces of a puzzle, and then you got to put that puzzle together quicker. So she was good at doing that, and I'm starting to get that mindset as I get older. But she's very talented at jiu-jitsu for a base level, and you know, she could tap me out. She knows leverage, and you know, like how like Hickson says, like if you're not ready to take an opponent 50 pounds heavier than you, your jiu-jitsu is not right. So that's kind of like, if you're a light girl, jiu-jitsu is amazing for you, because you can use leverage. You know, can't overpower maybe a big guy like Maz or something, but you can definitely.
Yeah, right.
No way, man. When I was a white belt, your wife used to tap me out all the time. I used to be so pissed. But I just said because she's Brazilian, that's the only reason why it happened.
Oh, wait, does your wife speak Portuguese?
Eu falo português também agora.
Oh, dude, I've been working on my Portuguese too. You ready? Uma plata, gogo plata, pasta gordo.
Pua caralho.
So,
açaí.
All the coaches in Hawaii are like from Brazilian, you know, base, and then a couple coaches, they have like different terms for it now. So all the guys, even like the gringo guys, all the American guys, they're used to the Brazilian terms, and now they're going back to the American terms. They don't know what the new coaches are talking about.
That's funny.
So I gotta ask you, bud, now that you're not competing as much in pro bodyboarding, I mean, what are you doing right now? What is Jay Bitzer doing on a day-to-day basis currently?
Guaranteed, honestly, 5 days a week. I have my own little gym at my house now, because I was doing CrossFit the last 2 years, and I actually kind of got into CrossFit to supplement bodyboarding competition, and I had this whole grandiose idea that I was going to get into CrossFit, and I was going to do, you know, my regionals and go to, you know, on up, like I was going to do it, like I was going to commit to it. And I like CrossFit for the workouts, but I hit a roadblock with it, basically, where I was like, oh, okay, this is World's Strongest Man competition. So I'm not speaking out. I like CrossFit. I like the workouts. I like the camaraderie, but there's no weight classes like there is with an MMA or any type of martial art. So I walk around at 165, you know, soaking wet, and I'm not going to get to 210 to be able to flip a 400-pound pig. You know, I can do muscle ups all day, but it didn't scale right for me. So now, what I think Maz was mentioning, I just trained with Rich Graham, who is a former Navy SEAL and extremely knowledgeable competitive sports. His background's Thai boxing, actually with Russian Greg, who you guys obviously know. And he came out here, taught me a lot of different stuff, a little bit of Nauka, a little bit of more like non-ring fighting, because now that I'm 32 and I got a family.
How was your butthole feeling after it?
Missed that. I got a little glitch.
Don't worry, you didn't miss much. It was stupid.
Yeah, I blew your punchline. Sorry. No, but so yeah, like I was like, okay, I'm not doing ring fighting, and I travel to Rio. I still travel, and I don't travel to the most so to say non-hostile places. And I got a baby, so I wanted to learn some real world stuff. It was really cool, because now it took what I already know for Muay Thai and it added some tools in there that are not like, I'm not going to dance around a guy. I'm just going to, basically every maneuver that you do now inflicts pain. First, there's no rules. You know what I mean? When you go street fight, and nobody's looking at street fight, but if it finds you, you want to end it quickly. So that's what Rich really brought to me this last week, which is cool. And I really think you guys should talk to him, because he's very knowledgeable. And then for cardio, I just do rounds like everybody else does. Like I'll do bag work. I'll do focus mitts. I'll do tie pads, even at my house. And then I'll incorporate CrossFit workouts that work for me. And I'll do a lot more kettlebell work. And that's one of the things that Rich helped me with, is that when you're learning these kettlebell workouts, like, you've probably heard of, Donna Castorino.
Oh yeah. She's going to be on our podcast tomorrow.
Awesome. She's really technical and she's super fast. But
yes,
there's two ways to do kettlebells, and there's two mindsets. There's one for competition, just like what CrossFit would do, and it's like it's speed and technique. And there's another one where you're not going to be able to move as much weight, but you're going to get your spine and your core symmetrical and in line for injury prevention. And so there's two. I'm not saying the other kettlebells won't do that, but this will be, you're going to do a lot lighter weight and work on mobility, which is what I need in my life right now, because like when I was doing CrossFit, I fell off a pull-up bar doing a gnarly workout because the grips weren't set right. And it was more of like an equipment failure and fatigue at the same time. But I've learned like, okay, I've had injuries that I got to do workarounds, and I got to keep my core stable, because that's where everything else is just limbs that get pushed off it. So I like that mentality, and it's two different ways to think about it: mobility, lighter weight function, or moving it fast. And both are good. It's just that you got to look at your goals as an athlete and just as a day-to-day life and what you want at that moment. And then you pick and you go which way you want. So yeah, that's basically it. Like still Muay Thai, still some combative sports. I still surf as much as my baby will let me, which is probably like 4 times a week.
So I know I saw some pictures of you on Instagram and some Facebook pictures of Rich doing some different kind of training with you guys. You guys were doing some kind of like home invasion tactical training. I mean, kind of like a controversial topic with, you know, handguns and shotguns and stuff. What was that like learning almost – I consider guns and gun handling a martial art of its own. What was that like learning from somebody like Rich, who's former Navy SEAL, kind of like a really badass dude and just highly technical, highly trained?
Yeah, for me, I guess it is controversial, but it shouldn't be. I'll give you an example why. I go to Brazil and I travel all over. Guns are illegal. Who has the guns then?
Yeah, all the bad dudes, always.
Dudes. Okay, so you grant that. I never even, you know, would ever leave the house except to go to the range with my gun. There would be no point. You know what I mean? That's not what I have it for. I never was a gun owner until about 2 years ago, and I got, you know, a gun. But the thing is, me personally, so, you know, I want to own a gun. That's something new. I don't get a table saw and then just start running it over my fingers. Meaning, like, I'm not going to buy something, not know how to use it. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to work smarter than harder. So instead of working an uphill battle, I'd rather learn the proper safe way to handle something of that much danger than learn the wrong way and have years of working in the opposite direction and relearning. So I took the initiative and wanted to learn the right way, and which is the right guy to go to be honest. And, you know, so, you know, God forbid nothing ever happened, but, you know, it's like you prepare for the rainy day, because you never know when a rainy day might happen. Yeah, and then most likely the rainy day doesn't happen when you know what you're doing.
Yeah, like that time when I was out there and we had this tsunami warning and everybody was, like, freaking out. You know, we did have the firearms, but, like, none of us are technically and proficiently trained in that stuff. That's, like, you know.
I never even really need it. But the reality is a lot of home invasions happen, and they do happen everywhere all over the world. And, you know, in that case, why not know what you're doing? Because if you don't know what you're doing and you were stupid enough to buy a gun and then not know how to use it, then you're just as inept. So it's totally – my suggestion is that is, like, you don't need a gun. Not everyone needs a gun. But if you decide that you need one, you should learn how to use it safely. Whether it be storage, how do you know what I mean? You do your research first. You don't just go into something like that, because otherwise that means you don't have the mindset for it. And the same thing with a martial art. Like, you know, when you train jiu-jitsu and you get the white belt who wants to be a badass, he starts grabbing your gi and then rubbing his gi over your face. And you
know, or thinks he can beat up everybody at the bar after taking 3 weeks of jiu-jitsu lessons.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. That's not why I do sports like that. Like, I never want to have to hurt somebody, but if someone has bad intentions for me, I want to be able to stop that as quick as possible.
Now, Jay, what people don't realize about you, you've actually competed in knockdown karate, which I, you know, a lot of people know that's my background as well. Full contact karate, bare knuckle, bare shin. Essentially, you can punch to the body, you can't punch to the face, you can kick and knee to the face and everywhere else in between. What was that experience like for you? Tell us about it. Walk us through it. You know, I believe you fought twice in one day, and I don't think a lot of people would understand the hardship of that kind of competition until they've done it.
I think any type of tournament when you've got stuff flying at your extremities that can put you in pain is a good lesson for people, because I think a lot of people in this world in general think they're tough, and that's all well and good, but I think a lot of people in this world have never had a chance to prove it. And that's just kind of a rule of thumb. You'll see a lot of MMA guys say that. And you usually see the toughest guys never having problems because they don't walk around looking for anything because they know what other people can do. So if you really don't understand what someone else can do or how much something actually hurts, even in a controlled environment, it's going to make you walk around unchecked in this world, and that's stupid. And that's a bad way to live, because you're not going to gain any knowledge of what the world is like. And that means, for me, is like, don't be an ass to other people. There's no need to be rude to other people. Everyone has their knowledge. Everyone has something to gain from someone else. As far as, like, you can learn something, you shouldn't really go walking around tough, because small or big, you really don't know what that guy is capable of. You know what I mean? So, you know, I did that, and I actually wish I pushed it a little further. I had a couple fights, and, you know, but mostly guys that were on my level. And I did one Muay Thai stand-up fight after that too, which had some rules, you know, that were kind of like protective, like it was headgear and everything like that, and that was cool. But what I learned from it is, like, nerve control more than anything else. Like, oh, okay, if you get hit in the face, you know, people deal with it, protect your chin, you know, the basics of survival when someone actually wants to, you know, hit you, so to say.
Do you think you've learned a lot of nerve control and kind of carried that over into your job now? I know you worked on North Shore and some of the biggest, heaviest, gnarliest waves in the world, and some of the most crowded times of the year. You know, being in the North Shore in the winter, that's where the whole surfing community goes. I mean, you've had a few hairy rescues on duty and off duty. I mean, do things like that help you? Did that situation in life help you with your nerves carry over, you know, from your martial arts experience?
Be able to control it, the anxiety.
I think, honestly, it comes down to the fear of, and it sounds really trite, but it's the fear of the unknown is worse than the fear of the known. So basically, and that I've Rich kind of backed that up. I was talking to him about that too, with guys that are warriors, you know what I mean? When they know what the threat is, it's not that scary. When they don't know what the threat is, it's pretty scary. So, like, my first couple of days on the beach, you know, I had experience because I lifeguard in New Jersey. So I had some experience, not years of it, but it becomes muscle memory over time. So I probably was better physical shape. I'm still in decent shape for a 32-year-old guy, but, you know, just testosterone and just muscling it when I was 25. But you put me on the beach now at, say, 20-foot Waimea versus when I was 25, and I'm a lot more calm, because panic kills you in a fight. Panic kills you in the water. And also, I've pretty much had every situation, not to, like, do a chest bump or something. It just shit happens, and I happen to be there. So I could be a black cloud if you look at it too. But I've had, you know, everything from drug overdoses to heart attacks to people hitting the reef and splitting their head open, and, you know, look like someone hit them with a spike bat. I've seen it, so I know what can happen. I know what the surf can do. I know what people sometimes come to the beach to die. You know, they might have taken a drug, or there's all different types of stuff. And in Hawaii, It's just like in New Jersey in the summer, people come to the beach in droves. So you're going to be there, and then there's less of us than them. So and you're the one who's going to have to deal with it. So you try to prevent everything. Sometimes you can't prevent the inevitable. People make their own decisions. We're not enforcers. They go do crazy shit, and then we pick up the pieces. So, yeah, my nerves, I think, as I've gotten older, I think just in general, I'm a lot more calm of a person than I used to be. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of room to work on that too. But I personally work better in stressful situations than I do when it's just kind of humdrum. Like I get hyper-focused when things go wrong. So to say, like, okay, it's time to muscle up and make this happen. Let's work through this at a steady pace. Let's not miss points. You know what I mean? Let's break this down. Okay, this guy's bleeding from the head super bad. You know, he could bleed out. Okay, well, what do we do? Boom. I'm not going to, like, freak out. Oh, my God, there's blood. Like, it's just not like that anymore. But I could, you know, nurses are like that. Combat people are like that. Anybody that's seen stuff that normal people just don't believe that happens, they get kind of second nature with it. So it's not that bad for me anymore, so to say.
Now, dude, we gotta know, how has your life changed now that you have a baby?
Perspective.
Because Bits, you gotta talk about, you know, we grew up in the Jersey Shore and we were kids and we went out and partied all summer and we stayed out later and never went to sleep and woke up on the beach and all things like that. So now that, you know, from that whole situation when you're 18, now you're 30, 32 years old, you've been with your wife for quite a few years. I mean, do you miss any of that stuff, or how much is that in perspective now, like you started to say?
I think there's a time and place in life for everything. So that stuff is like, you're in the right age group, like, go for it. You know what I mean? As long as you got a strong mind and you can tap out when you need to, you know what I mean? Go for it. Have fun. Just don't be an ass about it. And don't push it too hard, because you never know when your bus stop gets passed up and then you're stuck on that train. So, you know, I partied when I was at the Jersey Shore. I don't think anyone has it. But I've been together with Beta almost 9 years, my wife. And basically, you were at my wedding. After my wedding, like,
No, I wasn't.
I was.
Yeah, I wasn't invited. Bullshit.
I didn't handle the invites. I'm not gonna be sorry, John. Put it this way: I haven't had a Jaeger shot since after my wedding. So,
oh my god.
I'm pretty, as far as drinking, it's like super minuscule now. Like, Maz comes to town, we go have a dinner. I'll have a steak and a beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but one drink minimum.
Down 5 years. I just don't do that. It's just, I've got other stuff to do. And then that's even before my daughter. Now my daughter's here and she's so cool. Like, she's like my little buddy. I'm just more focused on making her youth as fun as my youth was. Like, my parents made it happen for me. They weren't, you know, the richest people in the world. They weren't this, that, and the other thing, but they made it comfortable for me. Even when, you know, like, the tough times happened, it was still fun. So, like, for me, it's like, me is more like giving her a chance that I had, because I think it would be unfair for me to be selfish and go out and do stuff. Like, it's nice. My wife still lets me train. She let me do this thing with Rich this last weekend. You know, that was like a full 3-day intense thing that usually, that's like my vacation for the year. I'm trying to take vacations on island now instead of off island.
Well, Bits, so let me stop you for 1 second. Most people that don't know you and your wife is just an elite athlete, as you were in bodyboarding competition. She was ranked, if not top 10 in the world at one point in her life. So, I mean, she's right there as well as far as, like, training and her fitness, right?
I think she's actually beyond me for competition. It's a little bit different of a world because she was elite. I think she could have been world champion, to be honest. Like, not just saying that, she could have in her range of competition. But the thing is, if you're going to do that, it's like anything. Like, you want to be a fighter. At one point, you're going to need support. And she had support, but she didn't have, like, I got to work and train. It's hard when you do that. That's like training for Olympics. You know what I mean? You got to find a balance. So she was top five in the world. She won – excuse me. Sorry, guys. Involuntary burp. But she –
I'll forgive you.
Yeah. National champ twice. She still has her sponsors. You know that acai company, Zambazon? Sambazon. Rather,
acai, Uma Plata.
Bro, that's so cliche. A Brazilian girl.
I know.
Acai. Come on, man.
She's like, they're cool. Like, same with me. Like, we still hold our sponsors. Me, on the other hand, I competed out of necessity. I still like it, but I was more focused on big waves because that's what I wanted to do. So I think I could have done better in competition if I would have, like, committed to that. Like, I had a couple events I did pretty well here and there, but now that I'm older and I look at it in retrospect, I know how to do that now, where I didn't know how to do that competition.
Well, you were also 18, right? I think when you started on the Super Tour, and you were the first only ever mainland American to compete with those guys?
Yeah, I got an invite, basically. I got like a wild card spot to one event, basically, is what happened. So I was this guy from New Jersey, started charging, eating crap on big waves, pushing through it, so to say. And then they said, hey, it was almost like this, like, you're one of the best from where you're from. That's cool. You got a shot. You want to take it? And I was like, heck yeah, I don't really care. And I don't get embarrassed too easily, so I don't really care. Like, I'm just going to go do it because I want to do it. And then I did it, and I did okay. And then I did better and better, and guys supported me. They showed me what to do, because all the waves contests at that time were waves of consequence, like pretty dangerous. And I'm from the Jersey Shore. So the only major difference for me was at that time was like, I'm just doing it to do it. And the difference between me and those other guys at the time were they were doing it as a living, whereas I would go home in June and work as a lifeguard, valet parker, waiter, construction, whatever the hell you could give me work for. And then I would get invited to a contest come September. And I hadn't surfed in 3 months, anything over 2 feet. And I would be like, screw it. I'm going to the Philippines. I'm going to Tahiti. I'm doing it. I don't care. I'll figure it out as it goes along, because I'm not going to be like, oh, I need to train for 3 years before I do this. I'm just going to do it.
Were you doing any sport-specific training for bodyboarding when you were 18, or were you just living that, like, you know, I'm young, I'll just kind of, like, get by and just, you know, do bare minimum or not even do anything, just kind of just go on, like, young, natural talent?
You know, I'll tell you the truth. I trained super hard, but it wasn't sport-specific. Like, I was actually doing, like, heavy weight. Like, I actually had this guy in Asbury. What's on Asbury? You remember that 24-hour gym? It looked like a prison gym in Bradley.
The steroid house.
Yeah, I never did the juice, but I had a guy that was like an animal, and he was just an animal. That's what it was. It's because you know how training's gotten more advanced over the years, and everything's gotten more refined. So before it was like you're pushing weight or you're not doing anything. You know what I mean? So
such like typical Jersey meathead, like,
you know what I mean, thinking trainer. Yeah, exactly. Me to think, which is obviously archaic at this point. But at the time, I was just like, I want to go as hard as I can as this body will let me. And I don't care about my joints. I don't care about my mobility, because I was flexible as hell.
Bro, I feel like you're talking about my sex life, man. I go as hard as I can. I don't care about my joints. I'll curls for the girls. I'll do anything, bro. Anything. Sure.
Yeah, you're just wearing like Dolce and Gabbana sunglasses and like a Sex Inspector t-shirt, like just going super hard, like a juicer in one hand and a fist pump in the other. Yeah.
Were you doing any dieting at that point in your life, like any lifestyle changes, or were you like, you know, it's Friday night, I'm a little drunk, I'm gonna go up to Gigi's in Manasquan and have like 6, 8, 10 slices of pizza? Or were you still kind of like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll cut back and have a salad or, you know, something like that?
Luckily,
because, dude, you've always had a six-pack as long as I know you.
More or less, yeah. That's because I worked hard. Like, I would literally run beach 10 miles pretty much 4 days a week, because I had a job as a lifeguard, and my captain would be like, do whatever you want. Like, you got 3 hours. So I'd be like, okay, I'm going to run to Bradley Beach, and then I'll run back, and then I'll swim for an hour. And then after work, I had my bike with me, and it was only 5 o'clock, and I was like, well, I'm in Spring Lake at this point. I'll ride my bike to Bradley, lift for 45 minutes an hour, and then ride back to Manasquan. So I do a 14-mile bike ride. I was kind of like an innate animal, but not knowing I was really doing it. I got that. That was like my high. Like, I just liked working out because there was no surf. And when you think about it, like, big waves are very scary and very like endorphin release and adrenaline and just everything that you get from working out. So when I was home, I would just try to push that into a workout. And like, you know, Murph too, like my good friend, he trained pretty hard too. So like, it was always like, keeping up with the Johnsons. I like to try to, like, I don't want that guy to be able to outrun me. If he's going to try to outbodyboard me, I want to be able to, you know what I mean? Like, we're just in constant kind of like, we didn't see each other for a week, but we know we were both training. So if we ever got to like meet out and hang out, I would want to beat that guy in a foot race, you know, so to say.
So now all these mistakes and everything you made when you're younger, now that you're older, it seems like we're all paying a little bit of consequence. There's like no biological free lunch. We all have a little bit of an injury or a little bit of a situation. What kind of adaptations have you made to your training? And like, what are you doing for your diet now? Because I know, you know, what you eat and what you're doing with your food quality is a huge difference than, you know, when we were younger. Especially living in Hawaii, you have more access to like high quality organic foods.
Yeah, fresh fruit and vegetables, things that, you know, don't come as easy to us.
It's funny. I don't really realize it because now I've been here for so long. But even though it's pricey, because why is definitely expensive, it's actually way easier to make that choice to eat healthy, which is cool. Because I remember, like, I didn't do this, but I remember my weight trainer when I was 18 goes, "You need those calories? Just pound McDonald's, bro." And I'm like, "What?" I was like, "I don't even drink soda." But he's like, "Brian, you're so skinny. You need those 3,000 calories a day or whatever it is." I'm like, "Oh, okay, whatever." So I would just eat like. Because I always like salad, so luckily I pound salad with chicken breast, which isn't really too bad, but I didn't really know a lot about breads, and I would eat breads and rices and a lot of starches, which are fine in small doses, but for me, I figured out my diet just by random, like, little, like, trigger things that picked up. I'll give you an example. Like, I don't have celiac disease or anything, but I stopped eating bread as a whole. Like, I'll eat it probably maybe twice a week. Like, I'll have a hamburger if I cook it out at my house. So I'm not, like, a full-on canary or anything, but I limit it. So it's not like a staple. And I used to get, like, when I would train, I thought it was because I was getting bacteria and I'd get like a back sit or something like that. Like, why does this come out? I haven't had one of those in 3 years since I stopped eating bread as a main staple in my diet. And it's most likely because I have a gluten intolerance. Not everybody has that. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying me, I found out that was the case. And then I would always have like, I drink coffee. I'm just a coffee. Like, my parents had a coffee business in Jersey when I was a kid. So I love coffee. It's one of those things that's like my one thing that I can't give up. And I found out some of the coffees I drink are bad because they're old and they've already been ground. So simple things is even getting coffee that's fresh as far as freshly roasted. I don't get headaches from it anymore. And I drink water before my coffee. So that way I'm not dehydrated from 8 hours of sleep. So there's little things in that. I put greens in everything I do. Like, I cook with greens. I put them in every smoothie. I don't skip a beat. Like, I at least have two meals with greens, and that's like a pretty good way to keep on track. And then fruits and vegetables are easy because, like, my mother-in-law from Brazil, she has no shame. She'll go up to people's fruit trees and just steal them out here and then put them in our smoothies.
So Hawaiian / Brazilian.
Yeah, she'll also kill chickens. So if you have any pet chickens, don't leave them around my grandma.
Oh my God, my.
Now, Jay, before we wrap up, but I gotta know. What shout-outs you got? Shout-out to anybody you want right now.
Anything you like to promote or plug or any events you have coming up?
Yeah, honestly, just thanks, guys. This is stoked. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts in general, so you guys, this is cool. I like seeing this happening. I don't like mainstream media anymore. I don't really watch TV. You know, I'll just pull what I want from the net, and, like, when I'm in the car, I like listening to podcasts, all different ones. So this is cool that you guys are doing it. I think it's definitely what's up right now, especially with good content. Because if you get good guests that are actually really knowledgeable, you can get better information. It's not like a lot of snake oil. Like, for me, I'm not an expert or anything. I just know that, like, I've been doing this for a while and I've refined stuff. I still want to say thanks to Metrics. They've actually gotten their products better since I've been with them for years. They have a lot more natural products than they did when I first started, like aspartame-free stuff and things that, you know, normally were just the norm that nobody really cared or know about. Now they are actually doing it. And that's kind of been the trend to all companies. Hurley... like, those guys don't need to sponsor me. They've got, like, some of the coolest athletes and kind of, like, socially conscious things that go on. Like, they support Waste for Water, and they're trying to bring fresh water to really, like, third world desolate countries. They helped out with Sandy. They helped out with everything. So those guys are just rad. Like, I'm just stoked that they even acknowledge me and, like, let me be around it because it's really dope. But all the boys in Jersey, you know, if anybody listens, you probably have a bigger – turnout in Northeast, so, like, I don't ever tell anyone I'm from Hawaii. I'll tell you that much. I tell them from Jersey. So, yeah, so all the boys in Jersey.
Got to represent.
So cool. Yeah, stoked you guys had it on. But, yeah, I'll tell you one thing that does work for me. It's a big shout-out. They're a sponsor. They hooked me up a product, but I bought their stuff for 2 years before I even approached them. Is Bioastin.
Dude, you gave me some of that stuff as a sample, and I – loved it when I was using it. For people that don't know what it is, can you go ahead and just give them, like, a quick rundown?
Yeah, like, I would love to just be able to hand somebody a book to read on it, because there's actually, like, scientific breakdown of what it is. But it's red algae, simply. But it's cultivated on Kona, on the Big Island. And what red algae basically does, astenosin, is it does multiple things. One, it gives you a slight SPF, a daily SPF internally. Like, so it basically helps you deal with UV rays. It also helps with joints. So, like, if you're taking it every day, it'll help your joints. It's not going to be a cure-all because there's not that much is with joints, but it's definitely, like, lubricates your joints and helps you with recovery. It breaks down lactic acid. So if you're working out all the time and you're getting cramps, I pounded. I cycled off it probably once a year for 2 weeks, and I've gotten sick in those 2 weeks. And I feel weird, and so like I do that on purpose to know when something's working, because I don't really take many supplements, to be honest. I take bioacid in the morning, and then I take zinc, magnesium, B6, which is that ZMA stuff, at night, which really works too. And then I take whey protein, and I do throw some coconut oil and butter in my coffee in the morning. That's basically, besides regular eating good, that's all I do. And that's, that stuff is like, I cannot go without that stuff. They told me tomorrow, hey, sorry, Bits, you're not getting any more. I'm like, well, I guess that's, you know, I'm going to be a 30-month bill because I'm not stopping taking it.
This stuff is so good, man. Bits, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, bud, thank you.
You've been a wealth of information. We'd love to have you back on. I mean, I think you cover some topics that most people around here don't really know about, being like a complete athlete, awesome waterman, martial artist, now you're a dad.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind that you're a dad, because I've known you for so long. But, hey, man, thank you so much. And, you know, until we meet again.
All right, yes, buddy.
I'll be training with you guys hopefully in November. I'm coming home for 3 weeks with the baby to show her off. So I'll drop by and see you guys at the gym and stuff. That'd be cool.
All right, man. Can't wait to see ya.
All right. Peace out, buddy.
Good job. Later, buddy.
Lie, die in the fire where I learned to ball. Uptown is the place where I lay my dome. On the streets of the Bronx where my family roam. Oh, damn it, we home. Heater got a 9 millimeter. Player haters can feel the flame from my heater.